It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Week 7 was absolutely crazy in the NFL. What is going on, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer here, back with the solo edition recap for the Fade the Chalk podcast presented by the FTN Network. Man, I mean, just a ton of high-scoring performances. I mean, Tyler Lockett broke the slate on Sunday night. Devontae Adams broke the slate on Sunday afternoon. A handful of quarterbacks threw 4 and 5 touchdown passes. We had a huge back-and-forth shootout between the Browns and Bengals. It was crazy. It was honestly one of the craziest slates of the season so far. We, of course, will break it all down and recap all the games here on the Fade the Chalk podcast. And yeah, like I said, it was, given this podcast a little bit later than normal, apologies for that. Sometimes stuff gets in the way, but we are here breaking down the games from what really was the high scoring slate of the week. I mean, you could have played whoever you wanted because we had, you know, value opening up with Jamal Williams and Giovanni Bernard. It was wild. Let's not even waste any more time. Let's get right to it. Of course, as I mentioned how crazy this slate was, we'll start with the Bills and Jets. The Bills win 18-10. Really frustrating game for anybody that had Bills players because they didn't score an offensive touchdown against the worst team in the NFL. Josh Allen had 307 passing yards. He added 61 rushing yards. So he's been running a lot more the last couple weeks, which is good to see, a lot more design plays as well. Look, he scored like 17 fantasy points without even scoring a touchdown. So that's pretty good for him. He had a touchdown called back. It was like a 20-yard touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis. I got called back for illegal formation, which was a terrible call, if I do say so myself. The backfield, Cole Beasley, by the way, career-high 11 catches for him. He took advantage with John Brown being out. You know, he's having a really productive year. 12 targets for Bees in this game. He's going to be a viable wide receiver 3 in PPR formats if John Brown continues to miss games. And still a viable wide receiver 4 if John Brown's back. But let's get to the backfield here. The Bills have not been able to run the football effectively at all this season, and it's really hurt their offense. And we kind of started to see that change a little bit in the second half of this game. So Zach Moss, the rookie running back, who's missed a handful of games with a toe injury, came back last week against the Chiefs. Didn't really do much. But then here against the Jets, he touches the ball 10 times, the same as Devin Singletary. He had 7 carries for 47 yards and added 25 yards on 3 receptions. But the more telling thing is he ran one less pass route than Singletary. He played 35 snaps, which was a season high for Zach Moss. And then Devin Singletary played 40 snaps, which was still leading the team, but a season low for Devin Singletary's. And a lot of Moss played more than Singletary in the second half of the game. So we could be starting to see this get back to that committee we expected heading into the season. Moss would probably still be the favorite to be the goal line back. Again, that's not the most advantageous position in the Bills offense compared to other offenses because Josh Allen's, you know, runs for so many touchdowns from 2 yards out. But we talked about him on the Waiver Wire podcast. If Zach Moss has been dropped in your league, I would definitely go pick him up if you need some depth at the running back position because he looks to be now getting 7 to 10 touches a game. And look, the beat reporters in Buffalo during training camp said that it's going to be a week-by-week situation with this backfield, and whoever has the hot hand is going to take the job. So Devin Singletary is too important to this team that it's not going to get to a point where he's just benched. But Zach Moss is clearly, you know, if he's giving them a spark on the ground game, that's big for them because they need someone to help them run the football. They've not been great in that department. For the Jets, really nothing here. They had like 4 yards in the second half total. Jamison Crowder was out, and you're still not relying on any of these receivers. But LaMichael Perine, not the most sexy waiver wire ad, but in the first game for the Jets without Adam Gase calling plays, Perine had 11 carries, the same as Frank Gore, but he also played 70% of the snaps, while Gore only played 28% of the snaps. And Perine had already been the pass catching back in this offense and the third down guy, but now he looks to be the early down guy as well. And look, the Jets are 0-7; they're not going anywhere. They might not even win a game. Everybody loves Frank Gore, but what's the point of, you know, giving him 15 touches each week on a team that's not going anywhere? You know, you got to see what you have in the younger guys, and that's LaMichael Perine. So another guy, I would slightly prefer Zach Moss over him, but he's definitely somebody you can add if you're desperate at running back. And again, there's still bye weeks coming. We have Houston on a bye, so David Johnson's off, James Robinson's off, and the Arizona backs are off as well. So, and Denver, so there will be running backs missing this week. This game was incredible. Cleveland 37, the Bengals 34. We hit on a lot of this, a lot from this game in the DFS podcast. Joe Burrow was a really great play for us, and he has a huge game, 406 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and he adds a rushing touchdown. He's giving you that 30 yards and rushing touchdown potential each week as well. So he's been outstanding. He's throwing the ball a ton. The receivers are great. I mean, Tyler Boyd was like my favorite play of the slate, and he smashed 11 for 101 and a touchdown. You can just continue to pick on the Browns with slot receivers. That's going to be a thing each week. T. Higgins, 5 for 71 and a score. Then A.J. Green continues to be involved. You know, he still doesn't look great, but the reports of his demise were maybe exaggerated. I mean, 13 more targets today, 7 for 82. He's a guy that, rightfully so at the time, was probably dropped. But in this offense, with them throwing the ball 45 times a game, he's going to see, you know, anywhere between 7 and 13 targets each week. So the way this offense is set up right now, all three of these receivers are viable. Tyler Boyd still being the top option, but they're throwing the ball so much. Joe Mixon, with that foot injury, they came out on Sunday morning and said he's week to week, so he might miss next week's game against Tennessee, who's been very below average against running backs. Giovanni Bernard, you know, dominated the workload. He had 13 of the 14 running back carries. He had all but one of the running back targets. He didn't run the ball well in this game, but he scored a touchdown. He had 60 receiving yards. He's going to be a middling, you know, RB2 for as long as Joe Mixon is sidelined. So if you picked him up, you know, there's a good chance that you get another week of Giovanni Bernard before the Bengals go on their bye, and I believe it's week 9. So that's going to be, it was encouraging because Giovanni Bernard has been really good in fantasy whenever Mixon's been out since Mixon entered the league, but it was a little bit of a question mark with Zach Taylor if it was still going to remain that way, and it clearly did. But yeah, man, Joe Burrow is ridiculous right now. He's on pace for 670 pass attempts, which would be top 10 all time for a quarterback in a season. And I kind of think he gets there. Like, he's going to have a really high floor given the volume each week. And again, he's rushing as well. So for the Browns, awful news, probably the biggest news of the week. Odell Beckham, first play of the game on offense. Baker Mayfield throws an interception. Odell's running back to try to make a tackle and hurts his leg, and it is confirmed a torn ACL for Odell Beckham. His season is over, and it sucks. It sucks when players get injured. It sucks when players get injured on freak plays like that. But Odell Beckham's season is over. Rashard Higgins, potentially the top waiver ad of the week. He came in and played and ran a route on every single one of Baker Mayfield's dropbacks after Odell left. He played 84% of the snaps and led the Browns receivers in snaps, and he had over 100 yards on 6 targets, catching all of his targets. He's always been a really productive player in limited work, but now he's going to be, at worst, the wide receiver 2 on this offense going forward. And Jarvis Landry's been really banged up this year. He's apparently playing through broken ribs. He's seemingly always hobbling to the sideline, so there's a path to Landry missing time as well, and Higgins is the unquestioned wide receiver 1 on the Cleveland Browns. And yes, they run the ball at one of the highest rates in football, but it's not like they're not going to throw the ball ever, and Higgins is going to be, you know, 7 to 10 targets potentially going forward. So he'd need to be picked up, especially if Odell Beckham was on your roster. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the rookie, he came in and operated as the third receiver in 3 wide sets. He scored the game-winning touchdown. Definitely keep an eye on him too, especially in dynasty leagues. Look, their tight ends are going to be a huge part of their offense still, right? I mean, with Austin Hooper out, the question was, will it be David Njoku or will it be Harrison Bryant? Their routes and snaps were nearly identical with Hooper off the field, slightly favoring Bryant. Bryant scored twice, and Njoku scored once. Their routes were pretty similar again. Their snaps were pretty similar again. But the tight ends are going to be a focal point of this passing offense now, especially with Odell out. I mean, Austin Hooper's target share was massive each week before getting hurt. It just kept climbing to around like 20-25%. And Baker Mayfield now, 40% of his touchdown passes this season have gone to tight ends. That was the case last year where he threw a lot of his touchdowns to tight ends and in college. So he has had a rapport with throwing to tight ends. So Hooper, it's an illness for him. It's not COVID related, so good chance he's back next week. But if he is ever forced to miss time, like, you know that these tight ends are going to be involved regardless in Cleveland with the way their offense is set up, especially when you have Kevin Stefanski running two tight end sets as much as anybody in football. I mean, we know that was the case with him during his time in Minnesota the last couple years with Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. So it's not surprising to see these tight ends really, really involved in this Cleveland offense right now. I mean, you look at their 12 personnel usage right now. They are running 12 personnel about 30% of the time, which is above league average. So, and that's probably going to climb with Odell Beckham out, you might think. But yeah, keep an eye on Donovan Peoples-Jones as well. And then Kareem Hunt, you know, continues to be the lead back. He had 18 of the 19 running back carries. He had 76 yards. He added a receiving touchdown. I think he has like 5 receiving touchdowns now. He's going to be a rock solid RB1 until Nick Chubb returns, which could be after the Week 9 bye. But still, that's somewhat of a big if. Green Bay 35, Houston 20. I can't read. Davante Adams is ridiculous, man. He had a 47% target share in this game. Hauls in 13 of his 16 targets for 196 yards and 2 touchdowns. The guys missed 2 games and didn't even play a full game against the Lions, and he might just still be the wide receiver 1 in fantasy. He's unreal he's unstoppable. He has the best release in the NFL on his routes. His timing with Aaron Rodgers is perfect. They're not throwing anybody else. I mean, 16 of 34 targets is insane. Robert Tonyan, not a thing after his big game against the Falcons because they're not throwing anybody but Davante Adams and the running backs. If you have Davante Adams on your team, just feel happy because he's a monster. And, oh, by the way, he gets the Minnesota Vikings next week. He has double-digit targets in like 9 of his last 10 games dating back to last season. 9 of his last 10 full games. Just a star. Same with Aaron Rodgers. We kind of knew this was a bounce-back game for the Packers after their game against Tampa last week. The Texans' defense is bad. They're bottom 5 in pressure rate. Rodgers and Adams did their thing. Aaron Jones with the calf injury tried to play, but the Packers are a really, really cautious team. They sat him out. And Jamal Williams, good to see he was the lead back. I mean, he had 19 carries to A.J. Dillon's 5. He had 77 yards on the ground and a touchdown. He had 37 receiving yards on 4 receptions. 5 targets. AJ Dillon played like 10 snaps. He's droppable. You know, he was worth a speculative pickup just in case they kind of used them in a committee without Aaron Jones. But like Jamal Williams, there's a reason they love him so much. And, you know, is he the most talented running back in the NFL? Absolutely not. But Aaron Rodgers loves him. The Packers trust him. We'll see. The Aaron Jones injury isn't believed to be significant, so he could be back for next week's game against Minnesota. For the Texans, don't look now, but Will Fuller scores again. You know, 3 for 35 and a touchdown. He had a tough game other than that, though, against Jaire Alexander, who's been one of the best shutdown corners in football this season. But Fuller now has scored a touchdown or reached 100 yards in every game but one. And I mention this every podcast, but it's worth telling. The only game he didn't reach 100 yards or touchdown was that week 2 or week 3 game against the Baltimore Ravens, where he played like 60% of the snaps, was in and out of the game, and Baltimore is just one of the best defenses in the NFL. Will Fuller is a wide receiver 11 right now. Brandon Cooks, though, is a wide receiver 23, who it's awesome to see, man. Debro and I were so high on this Texans passing game in the offseason. They got off to a slow start, but in 3 games since Bill O'Brien's been fired, their passing game has been awesome. Deshaun Watson, 309 yards and 2 touchdowns. 38 more rushing yards. He's running the ball a lot more, which was what I was expecting heading into the season. Brandon Cooks had 7 for 60 on 9 targets. He actually leads the team in targets now over Will Fuller. Brandon Cooks is the wide receiver 23, man. Like, Debro was super high in Will Fuller. I was super high in Brandon Cooks. And after a little bit of a scary start, they are looking awesome. Brandon Cooks went from to me, a strong wide receiver three to somebody you could probably drop if you had to a really strong wide receiver three, maybe even a wide receiver two. The Texans defense is bad. Deshaun Watson had to throw 40 times again. And David Johnson, just really bad performance from him. I know he scored the receiving touchdown, which was great, 442. I thought he'd run the ball better against Green Bay, but he just ran into the back of the offensive line every carry. He had 42 yards and 14 carries. But the snaps are really what's important for him. I remember that game Duke Johnson first came back. David Johnson went from like 90% snaps to 60% snaps. But since then, he has been way up in snaps. And today, or on Sunday, he played 54 of the 68 running back snaps. So he's a low-end RB, really low-end RB1, high-end RB2 just based off the volume. He has not run well since that week one game against Kansas City, but he's getting 20 touches each week. And Darren Fells, underwhelming performance from him. Jordan Akins probably back next week. Let's move on to the other games on this slate. This one should be pretty easy. Washington 25, Dallas 3, as the Cowboys' struggles continue. Look, I mentioned Ezekiel Elliott as a buy low potential candidate on the trade podcast with Chris Meany last week. I'm a little worried about that call. Zeke is still kind of splitting time with Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard had 8 carries in this game. Now, a lot of it probably came late when the game was out of hand, but I don't like the fact that Zeke only had 2 targets. Look, Dallas' offense just wasn't on the field a lot in this game. They were just terrible. The offensive line is a major concern. They went into the season with arguably the best offensive line in football. And since then, I mean, obviously Travis Frederick retired. Tyron Smith is out for the year. Lyle Collins is on IR. Zach Martin's hurt. And their center, Joe Looney, is hurt. I mean, they're missing 4 or 5 offensive linemen who happen to be 4 or 5 of the best offensive linemen in football. It's a massive concern. I was more worried about it for the pass protection aspect, and that was the case as Andy Dalton got just destroyed in this game, and now he's in the concussion protocol after that cheap shot. And look, we might actually have Ben DiNucci as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys next week. And, I mean, Amari Cooper, the fact that he had 7 for 80 in this game is just a godsend. CeeDee Lamb, no catches. He had like carry for like a yard or something like that. It was just a brutal game. This Cowboys team went from 4 or 5 potential fantasy starters to 2, maybe. Like, you're starting Zeke, but you're not feeling great about it. Their offense isn't moving the ball. They're not going to move the ball with Ben DiNucci. Zeke should still get 20 touches each week, you would hope, but if their defense can't get off the field, like, Zeke has been under 20 carries 4 times this year. That's just weird. You don't see that from Dallas. It's really weird. I would be really concerned if I had Zeke or Amari Cooper. It's rough. It's really rough in Dallas right now. Washington, Antonio Gibson with a breakout game. 20 carries for 128 yards and a touchdown. He ran the ball really well in this game. J.D. McKissic is still the pass-catching back. You know, he ran more routes. He had more targets and catches. But 20 carries for Gibson. Peyton Barber at 10. But looking at the play-by-play numbers from this one, I mean, his carries all came late, which wouldn't be too surprising. I mean, let's see. In the fourth quarter, we look at it. 1, 2, 3. I mean, yeah, he had the majority of his carries in that fourth quarter. So, Antonio Gibson, I mean, this is what we were hoping to see. Now, Washington is not going to be playing with a 20-point lead most weeks. So, we'll see what happens if they, you know, after their bye week, if they're chasing points. That tends to be the spot where J.D. McKissic gets the edge. But Gibson ran really well. He's clearly the best running back on this team. And he still didn't play. He still played 1 fewer snap than McKissic. But, like, I think Gibson's a really good player. I think you can sell high if you, like, I would look to sell high if you can, because the pass game work still isn't, like, incredible. It's still good because Kyle Allen is targeting running backs, like, 30% of the time since taking over the starting job. But McKissic's still running more routes. I think you could sell high. I don't think you have to, but I think this is the time to do it if you are going to do it. Terry McLaurin with the most obvious strong game in fantasy. I mean, you knew he was going to smash here. 7 for 90 and a touchdown. He also had a touchdown call back that was down at the 1 yard line. He's awesome, man. Like, I saw a clip of him and Trevion Diggs like kind of jawing at each other, and Diggs was like getting in his face and pushing him. And then the next play, he absolutely roasts him for a 52-yard touchdown. He had over 50% of the team targets in this game. He has one of the highest target shares in the NFL. He is a borderline wide receiver one. And if this, I say it all the time, but if this team had a good quarterback, I mean, he would be incredible. He already is incredible. They'll go into their bye week, and you'll be starting Terry McLaurin each week. Doesn't matter who's under center for the Washington football team. And a nice game from Logan Thomas, who's now scored in back-to-back weeks, 4 for 60 and a touchdown. Debro is all over him this week, so good call by my partner in crime. Good game from him. He's still running as many routes as any tight end in the NFL, so he's going to have some good games here. He's kind of a low-end tight end one the rest of the way. But yeah, Dallas just not looking good right now. You know who else isn't looking good for? The Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it's every week where they have just an absolutely disastrous loss. Only the Falcons can lose a touchdown, lose a game after scoring a touchdown. You know, like, it's just, it's wild. Detroit wins 23-22 on a last-second touchdown to TJ Hockenson after Todd Gurley, instead of falling at the one-yard line and running the clock and kicking a game-winning field goal. To be fair, he knew the second he did it and tried to stay out of the end zone, but he ended up getting the ball over the goal line. He had 2 touchdowns in this game. He's getting all the goal line work, but he had 20 carries for 48 yards last week, 23 for 63, and those 2 touchdowns this week. He looks terrible running the ball, but he's getting the high-value touches. He's got Carolina on a short week. He'll probably be like a top 12 guy for me, but yeah, if he's not getting the touchdowns, he's giving you nothing. Julio's back, in case people forgot last week. 8 for 97, led the team in receiving again on 9 targets. Calvin Ridley scored the touchdown. Hayden Hurst kind of coming alive here. 7 targets, 6 for 68 after he scored last week. He's, not sexy either, but he's running a ton of routes too. Like, with how bad tight end is, like, if your tight end is running a ton of routes, that's all that matters, because there's a lot of tight ends that aren't running routes, right? Hayden Hurst right now leads the NFL among tight ends with 249 routes run. Logan Thomas, who we mentioned in the last game, is third with 237. So if your tight end is running routes, you have an opportunity in fantasy. And these guys are running routes compared to guys like, Jared Cook and Kyle Rudolph and Tyler Higbee. Like, those guys just aren't running as many routes. So for the Lions, I can't stand this offense, honestly, after loving them in the offseason. They are running the ball on early downs and running the ball so much lately. It's kind of annoying. Stafford had been at 31 pass attempts in each of his last 3 games prior to this one, where he threw the ball 36 times. And again, if Todd Gurley runs the clock out, it's probably 31 pass attempts again for Matthew Stafford. So he had 340 yards in that late touchdown, but if he didn't get that touchdown, it's an underwhelming game, and he's just not throwing the ball enough on a weekly basis, despite their defense not being that good. So that's frustrating. DeAndre Swift gets out-carried by Adrian Peterson 11-9, which is, of course, because he had 14 carries last game and everybody was freaking out. And of course this happened. Why wouldn't it happen? The snaps in this game, I believe, were in favor of DeAndre Swift, if I'm not mistaken. He played 28 snaps on offense. Peterson played 19. Kerryon played 14. Swift is still the pass-catching back, but yeah. When I wrote about him, I talked about how he's a flex going forward, but if you thought you were getting RB2 production out of him, it's not happening until Adrian Peterson's not there. Kenny Galladay didn't score again this week, but he is just making ridiculous plays down the field. 8 for 114 on 7 targets. Marvin Jones, a much better game, 5 for 80. And then Hockenson, 5 for 59 and a touchdown. He continues to see the end zone targets, man. I think he had one or two more in this game. He has around 25% of the end zone targets on this team, the highest rate among all tight ends in the NFL. He has had 50 yards or a touchdown in every game. He's a top 7 tight end in fantasy right now. He's been having that breakout second season that many expected from TJ Hockenson. So that's great to see for the tight end in Detroit. New Orleans 27, Carolina 24. Drew Brees, really nice game from him, despite not having Michael Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. 287 yards and 2 scores, and he adds a 1 yard rushing touchdown. Nice game from him. Again, his demise might have been over exaggerated because I think he leads the NFL in completion rate again now. He's going to get Michael Thomas back eventually. Emmanuel Sanders is on the COVID list. He didn't have COVID. He had close contact, so he should be back next week. And, I mean, he still has the best running back in the NFL in Alvin Kamara, who didn't score, but he's just got that massive floor each week. 22 touches, 65 receiving yards, 83 rushing yards. He's incredible. Jared Cook scores a touchdown this game. Keep an eye on Marquez Callaway, though. I mean, there were some trade rumors circulating around Michael Thomas. Those seem to have died down, but they're considering him questionable at best for their Week 8 game against Chicago. I mean, Callaway had 8 for 75 on 10 targets. I think he had an ankle injury, but he appears to be fine. Like, if Sanders is back, he's clearly the wide receiver 3 behind Traquan and Emmanuel Sanders. But, you know, keep an eye on him. He looked good in this game, and he had a nice rapport with Drew Brees. There was a lot of timing routes where they were just kind of on the same page. Carolina, another solid game from Teddy Bridgewater, 254 and 2 touchdowns. Both go to DJ Moore, who has 93 receiving yards in 3 straight games, for whatever it's worth. But you still don't love the targets. He had 5, but Teddy only threw the ball 20. There was only 27 pass attempts in this game, so it's not the end of the world. Made plays down the field. They gave him a little touch pass as well in the red zone. So, you know, DJ Moore is still being out-targeted by Robbie Anderson, who had another really solid floor game. And Robbie Anderson's probably been the best value in fantasy this year when you consider where he's drafted. The floor has been massive for him every single week. He had 6 for 74, like I said. And Mike Davis, a brutal game. 7 carries for 12 yards against a Saints defense that hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher since the first Bush administration, apparently. It's been legitimately like 45 games, though. Christian McCaffrey, long shot to play in Week 8. They play Thursday night against Atlanta, but after that, we could get Christian McCaffrey back. So if you're in a good spot, you know, if you're still winning, you know, 4, 5, 6 wins in your season-long leagues, and you're getting McCaffrey back, you're probably feeling pretty good right now. But yeah, this team's pretty simple. I mean, Curtis Samuel got a rushing touchdown. It's still hard to trust. They don't throw to Ian Thomas at all. It's DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, really. That's the focal point of this passing game. And it's pretty awesome for fantasy. We'll see if that changes much with McCaffrey coming back or not. But like I said, we'll see. Another awesome game. Pittsburgh 27, the Titans 24. Deontay Johnson back in lineup and back as the clear top receiver in Pittsburgh. 15 targets, 9 for 80 and 2 touchdowns. He got hurt in this game again, but he said he's fine. He said he's going to play next week, so hopefully. Juju, though, nice bounce back game for him on 14 targets, 9 for 85. It looked like more of an effort to get him involved early. He had like 3 or 4 targets in their opening drive. Their opening drive was like, they had the ball for the first like 8 or 9 minutes of this game. It was really crazy. But yeah, if Deontay's back and good to go next week, you're probably viewing him as a top 24 play. Juju's probably like a top 30 play. And Claypool, like, yes, Chase Claypool had 1 catch for -2 yards. He still played a ton of snaps. Like, would anybody be shocked if it went back next week to Chase Claypool getting 7, 8 targets and Juju getting 4? Not at all. I think based off what we've seen when these guys have been on the field, it's hard not to view Deontay Johnson as the wide receiver 1. He had double-digit targets the first 2 weeks of the season. Then he got hurt early in those last couple games. Then he comes back this week, plays the majority of the game, and has double-digit targets again. He is the clear wide receiver 1 on this team. The question for me becomes, is Juju number 2 or is Claypool number 2? Because Claypool gets those carries that they'll give him inside the 5. You feel a little bit encouraged about Juju's game after this, but you know, like I said, Deontay's clearly the one on this team. James Conner, okay game, but like you should have had more. I mean, 20 for 82 on the ground. He adds 3 catches for 29 yards. He dropped a touchdown pass. He had a touchdown pass called back. And then Benny Snell stole another goal line touchdown from him. I don't get why they don't give James Conner goal line carries. It's pretty frustrating, and it's hurting his upside. But he's getting 20 touches each week, so you're starting him every week. But yeah, that's... It's like every week now where Benny Snell is getting significant, and it's not just carries when the game's over and they're like, okay, Benny Snell, you know, go get a touchdown if you want. Like, it's in competitive games. It's when James Conner's healthy and playing well. It's just weird. That's really the only knock on James Conner. He's been healthy, which is great to see, but I mean, James Conner, it's so weird because he's still fifth in the NFL in end zone or in inside the 5 yard line carries. It just doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't. But yeah, you're starting him every week. And Pittsburgh has Baltimore next week, which should be a fun one. Maybe temper expectations for their players in that game, but it should be a really good game. For the Titans, Derrick Henry, you know, tough sledding and a tough matchup, but he did score at 75 yards on 20 carries, you know, starting him every week. A.J. Brown has done nothing but smash since coming back from injury. 6 for 153 and a touchdown for him on 8 targets. Bad game from Jonnu Smith. You know, you're still starting him every week with the upside and with how they use him in the passing game on screens and giving him carries every now and then. But yeah, A.J. Brown has been out of this world since coming back from injury. I mean, he had the game against Buffalo, which was his first game back, where he scored a touchdown. And then he had the game against, who was it? Who did they play last week? They played the Texans last week, and he had 2 touchdowns on and 57 yards. He had a touchdown in 82 yards against the Bills. He's been ridiculous. Just an incredible player. Simple as that. Go to these other games, but before we do that, got to talk about another incredible thing. That's pristineauction.com. I mean, look, everybody loves sports. Everybody loves sports memorabilia. Everybody loves to have sports, you know, decor all over their house. And Pristine Auction is the ideal place to do it. You have daily auctions, and these daily auctions start at $1 bids on over 1,000-plus items. I mean, you have signed helmets, you have footballs, you have jerseys, you have more, like anything you can really think of. Over 8,000 football items in their auctions at all times, and their daily auctions, like I said, they start at $1, just $1. The authenticity is guaranteed on every product, and here's how you get started, man. Use the code FTN for $10 off your first invoice. So if you're getting started, use that code, let them know what you sent you, and you get $10 off your first invoice. PristineAuction.com, man, it's football goodness for as little as $1. Yes, $1. Head over to PristineAuction.com, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com today. Use the promo code FTN for $10 off your first invoice, and let them know we sent you. Simple as that. Let's get to the rest of these games. We have Tampa Bay 45, the Vegas Raiders 20. Tom Brady, man, somebody was supposed to tell him that Father Time is undefeated, and it just hasn't happened yet. 369 and 4, a touchdown to Godwin, a touchdown to Scotty Miller, a touchdown to Gronk, and a touchdown to Tyler Johnson. Notice I did not mention Mike Evans' name. Mike Evans, 2 targets, 2 for 37. This is scary with Mike Evans. It really is. Last 2 weeks, 12 targets, 51 receiving yards, no touchdowns. In 4 games with Chris Godwin, his target share is under 10%. He's like the wide receiver 16 in fantasy if you take those 4 games he's been with Chris Godwin. He has there's no need for Brady to just look his way immediately because Godwin's the first read. Gronk is all of a sudden now the second read. Gronk is back. I mean, another really good game from him. He finishes with another touchdown. He had 62 receiving yards, 5 catches on 8 targets. I mean, Godwin and Gronk are the first 2 reads. They are still perfectly fine running the football. And now you're going to add Antonio Brown in week 9. Bruce Arians, after the game, said that that Evans is going to get more involved and, you know, a lot of the targets that went his way drew pass interferences, which was true, but like Bruce Arians has said so many things, man. He said Ronald Jones is the clear back. Leonard Fournette's not taking Ronald Jones' job, anything like that. And that looked to be true. Fournette was hurt. And then Ronald Jones, with Fournette back this week, 13 carries to Fournette's 11. Ronald Jones, 1 catch for 2 yards. Fournette had 6 for 47. Like, and then Bruce Arians also said they're not even looking into Antonio Brown in the offseason, and that clearly changed. Like, you just can't believe what Bruce Arians says. So, I mean, Mike Evans is like a wide receiver 3. It's like he still led the team in snaps, but the targets aren't there. Leonard Fournette, by the way, outsnapped Ronald Jones 40-31. So despite running for 100 yards in three straight games prior to this game, this is a two-man backfield again. So, like, and Fournette played 75% of snaps when they were inside the five-yard line. Like, he was their goal line back. That's pretty scary for Ronald Jones. So, Ronald Jones and Chris and Mike Evans, I'm pretty worried about. Like, if Ronald Jones doesn't take the starting job outright after running for 100 yards in three straight games, what the hell does he have to do? Because he had another drop in this game. He's still really, 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 really underwhelming as a pass catcher. Fournette's better in that role, and he's getting goal line work. So it's not great. It is not great. I don't know how you feel great about Mike Evans, especially with Antonio Brown being there. I don't see it. For the Raiders, bad game all around for anybody running the football. Josh Jacobs, 10 for 17 on the ground. Bad matchup. 3 for 14 in the passing game. He's being targeted a lot more than people realize, which I'm okay with. This is one of the worst matchups in fantasy, so better days are ahead for Josh Jacobs. Nelson Aguilar may be a waiver wire candidate. He's now scored a touchdown in three straight games. He led the team with 9 targets, tying Darren Waller, who had 9 targets, and scored a touchdown, 50 yards and a score. Darren Waller, I was just wrong about him. I thought the addition of Ruggs and the addition of some of these other players, I know Brian Edwards has been hurt. I just thought it would hurt Waller's target share, and that just hasn't happened at all. He's been such a rock-solid player every single week. And Derek Carr has been playing a lot better than people realize as well. So yeah, that's it for the Raiders, really. San Francisco 33, New England 6. Like I said last week, Julian Edelman's droppable, and he's even more so droppable. One catch for 13 yards. He's just not 100%. His knee still hurts. He's not full speed. He just doesn't look good. The passing game here, Cam Newton got benched. He had 3 picks, 98 yards. Didn't run at all, really. That's scary. They have Buffalo next week, but I don't know how you feel comfortable starting anybody in the Patriots outside of maybe Cam. Stidham came in, didn't do anything either. There's no way Cam Newton gets benched for this next game against Buffalo. I'd be shocked. So Cam should still be the guy. Damien Harris got 10 for 58. If they're ahead in a game, he's going to be okay as a flex. If they're behind, James White's going to get, PPR flex work. But this team isn't at a point where it's like you go into a game and you know they're going to be ahead or you know they're going to be behind. Like, they're not awful and they're not great. And that's a worse spot to be in when you're trying to project James White and Damien Harris going forward. We'll see how they do against Buffalo in week number 8. For San Francisco, the injuries continue. Tevin Coleman, we knew, was out. Raheem Mostert was obviously out. And again, he's on IR. And then we're like, okay, cool. Jerick McKinnon going to go back to that 15 to 20 touch work load. And he plays barely at all and gets 3 carries. Jeff Wilson operates as the clear lead back. McKinnon played 12 snaps. Wilson played 37. JaMychal Hasty played 14. After the game, Kyle Shanahan said that they were resting Jerick McKinnon because he had been getting too many carries and working as the lead back, which doesn't make sense because he wasn't carrying the ball at all prior to this game. I mean, his carries coming into that game, 1 against Miami, 6 against the Rams, and then 3. So that just tells me that they don't want him to be getting significant carries, especially with the way JaMychal Hasty's looked the last couple weeks, who needs to be picked up off waivers as well, because Jeff Wilson suffered a high ankle sprain after running for 112 yards and 3 touchdowns. High ankle sprains for running backs, he's probably not going to play this week, and he might not play next week. So the Niners' backfield is probably going to be JaMychal Hasty and whatever the volume they give Jerick McKinnon. And I bet you they give Brandon Ayuk some carries if Deebo Samuel can't play, because Deebo has a hamstring injury. Deebo's looked awesome when he's been on the field. He had 5 for 65 in this game. He had 3 carries as well. But if he can't play, Brandon Ayuk, they're going to use him in similar ways. Deebo Samuel is averaging negative 1.3 yards before the catch per reception, which means he's just getting those touch passes and quick screens. Doesn't offer the greatest upside, but offers a really high floor in PPR leagues. And Brandon Ayuk had 6 for 115 and on 7 targets. This entire offense is going to be really concentrated if these guys are out next week. You're going to have Kittle, you're going to have Brandon Ayuk, you're going to have Hasty, and you're going to have some Kendrick Bourne. Like, that's it. Their offense is going to be super concentrated going forward with this with the injuries they have. Yeah, but you gotta keep an eye on JaMychal Hasty. He's looked good every time they give him the football. If by whatever miracle Jeff Wilson can play next week, pick him up and probably start him next week. I just don't see how he plays. Tevin Coleman could return, but I would probably give it one more week before he's back. Kansas City 43, Denver 16. Not much from this game either. Like, Mahomes only has 200 yards and a touchdown because the Chiefs scored a kick return touchdown and they had a pick six. Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally got in the end zone. It was interesting to see what the backfield split would be with Le'Veon Bell playing his first game. The Chiefs did not run a ton of offensive plays. They only had 51 snaps on offense. Clyde Edwards-Helaire played 27 of them. Le'Veon Bell played 17. Like, this is still going to be Edwards-Helaire's backfield. But Le'Veon looked good. He had 6 carries. Like, Edwards-Helaire only had 8. It's possible this turns into like a 1A, 1B situation, especially because Le'Veon did look so good. They had one play where they lined him up both out wide, which is like, I mean, you line those two up out wide to pair with Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and Travis Kelce. I just don't know how you stop this team. But yeah, bad game from Travis Kelce. Again, they just didn't have to throw. Their defense did all the work. They lost 2 possessions because of touchdowns by the defense and special teams. So we know the Chiefs are going to put up better numbers. And oh, by the way, wow, they get the Chiefs next week. So they'll be up by 60 at halftime, you would think. You might just be able to start anybody that plays for the Chiefs in that game. For Denver, Phillip Lindsay got the start in this game with Melvin Gordon back. Ran well, just played a lot better than Melvin Gordon. He had 9 for 79 on the ground. But he suffered a concussion and didn't return in the second half. So Melvin Gordon got 17 carries for 68 yards. He scored a late 2-yard touchdown that was meaningless. And he fumbled twice. He lost the ball on a reception. Then he did a flea flicker to Drew Lock and threw the ball 5 feet over his head. He's played bad, but if Lindsey can't play again, we already know what the workload looks like for Melvin Gordon when Lindsey's out. It's 20 carries every single week. It's the goal line work and it's the passing downs work. So he'd be a rock solid RB2 if Lindsey can't get back from the concussion. If Lindsey can get back, they're both flex plays because it's a 50-50 split when they're both there. It's been a small sample, but when they've both been on the field, it's been a legitimate 50-50 split. Nothing much from the Denver passing game here. Big Al, though, even with Fant back, had 7 for 60 on team-high 7 targets. Definitely interesting. He was third among the Broncos tight ends in snaps. He only played 30 snaps. But Drew Lock obviously played with him in college. They have a connection. So definitely keep an eye on that. And Tim Patrick, he's still the lead receiver on this team, but you're just not expecting much each week. Drew Lock is not very good. All right, 2 games left. Jacksonville 29, the Chargers 39. James Robinson's a beast, man. Look, they didn't have any backup running backs in this game. Chris Thompson was on the COVID list, and Azigbo, I think, got hurt again, and we know Rykel Armstead's done for the year. But James Robinson, 22 carries for 119 yards and a score. He added 4 for 18 and a touchdown on 6 targets through the passing game. James Robinson, I believe, is the running back 2 in fantasy right now after this game. Undrafted rookie, came out of nowhere. The Jaguars trade Leonard Fournette, and James Robinson comes in and just is playing outstanding. He has like 90% of the team's carries this year. He has like all of their carries from inside the 10. He's getting 20 touches every single week and then some. If Chris Thompson can't come back, like, that had a lot to do with the fact that he had that work in the passing game and that he had all the snaps. And he played literally 57 to 63 running back snaps. You know, Dario Gumbawale played 6. Again, it helped. They didn't have a backup running back. But he's just, like, I don't see how, even if Ozigbo's healthy or whatever, like, you can't take this guy off the field. He is playing so well right now. And, you know, he's been, like, the first couple of seasons, oh, he's a viable flex player. Then he's a rock-solid RB2. He's a low-end RB1 right now. You know, he is as locked in as it gets. DJ Chark, another bad game from him. 1 catch for 26 yards on 7 targets. I don't know what it is. Like, Gardner Minshew is just not giving this guy catchable targets. He has 3 catchable deep targets all season long. Minshew is below the league average in terms of on-target percentage. Chark is like, you can see how frustrated he is on the field. He had a press conference, I think, where he kind of took shots at the quarterback play. not feeling great about Chark right now. Like, he's shaping up to be more of a high upside wide receiver 3 than a wide receiver 2. He's barely inside the top 20 receivers in end zone targets this year, despite being 9th in the NFL in that department last year. Like, Keelan Cole is getting a lot of looks down there. It's frustrating. Like, you know he's going to have some big games, especially if Jackson wants to keep throwing the ball a lot. But, like, Minshew only threw the ball 27 times in this game. They got behind early, but then Robinson ran well and got them back in the game. They got a blocked punt touchdown. Their offense, the first couple drives, couldn't stay on the field. They went 3 and out in their first 2 drives of the game. LaViska, you know, just not a lot of volume right now. It's like the fact that James Robinson ran so well, they just stuck with it. Like, he got like 5 straight touches, I think, on 1 drive. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about Chark. Conley got the touchdown. It just seems like Chark is not getting the catchable targets, and it's really frustrating. Justin Herbert, QB1 the rest of the way. I mean, another huge game from him, 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. He adds a rushing touchdown and 66 rushing yards. He led the team in rushing with 66 yards. Justin Jackson was a little banged up with a knee injury heading into this game. He was the clear lead back on Monday night 2 weeks ago against the Saints. But then it goes back to kind of a committee in this game, right? Joshua Kelly paces the team with 38 snaps. Justin Jackson played 31. And Tremaine Pope played 12. So Kelly had 12 carries. Jackson had 5. They used Jackson more of like in the Eckler role. He had 5 catches for 43 yards on 6 targets. Kelly also had 5 catches. It looks like they're both going to be flex plays. I mean, Joe Reed had 2 carries as well. Tyron Johnson had 2 carries. Pope had a carry. They're flex plays at best, it looks like, until Austin Eckler returns. It was kind of underwhelming to see Jackson look like he was going to be like a viable RB2 in this spot. Maybe his lack of usage in the running game had to do with him being banged up coming into this one, but you know, Kelly didn't run the ball well either, but Kelly's their goal line back as well. It's simply put, I would probably, if I was picking between the two each week, I would lean Kelly in standard and Justin Jackson PPR. Another 13 targets for Keenan Allen, who converts him into 125 yards and 10 catches. The guy's target share with Justin Herbert is through the roof. It's like, you know, 35-40%. You know, with Justin Herbert being the quarterback has really helped Keenan Allen a lot. Just one of the biggest target shares in the NFL. One of the highest floors right now. Yeah, he's a wide receiver 1. Really has. He has a 30%+ target share in every game with Justin Herbert. Obviously, the Saints game, he played 2 drives and left, but he was well on his way there, and he still scored in that game. So, wide receiver 1 the rest of the way for sure is Keenan Allen. Last game of the slate, and this was maybe the craziest one. Arizona 37, Seattle 34. Odds are somebody on your fantasy team scored points for you, except for Metcalf, who had 2 for 23. He had a long touchdown, game-winning touchdown called back in overtime due to a holding penalty, but he made the play of the game. He really did. Chasing down Buda Baker on that interception, which saved them a touchdown at that point. Maybe the most gifted athlete in the NFL right now is DK Metcalf. He is absurd. It's frustrating to see this stat line, but you know, it was more of a take what the Cardinals defense gave them. They put Patrick Peterson on Metcalf the entire game, and Russell Wilson's not stupid. Like, they had nobody. Like, Drake Kirkpatrick could not cover Tyler Lockett in this game, and it showed. 15 for 203 touchdowns on 20 targets for Tyler Lockett. It's one of the best fantasy games I've ever seen in my life. He just absolutely destroyed them. Russell Wilson, another huge game from him. He's great. Just, you know what you're getting from these guys. Metcalf is still going to be awesome. Like, don't be worried. They're both, with the way Russell Wilson's playing and them letting him throw the ball on first and second downs as much as any quarterback in the NFL, they're both going to be low-end ones every single week. Chris Carson was also on his way to a nice game here, 5 for 34 on the ground before suffering a foot injury. Undergoing an MRI on Monday, doesn't seem to be too serious. He returned to the sideline with his helmet, but just never came back in the game. Perhaps precautionary. We'll see if he's back. There's a good chance he is. If he's not, I mean, Carlos Hyde's clearly the guy to pick up. 15 carries for 68 yards and a 24-yard rushing touchdown. Travis Homer also got hurt in this game, which is why you saw some DJ Dallas late. If Carson's out, you know, Carlos Hyde's a clear like top 18 to 20 back. We just got to wait and see. the reports so far doesn't sound too serious. But like I said, we just got to wait and see. I think there's a good chance he still plays. And if he does, obviously, you're not starting Carlos Hyde. Running back injury on the other side of this game was Kenyon Drake. He left with an ankle injury. He got carted off and was emotional, and it really was heartbreaking to see. And I thought the worst, but it sounds to be, or it's not sounds, but I saw a report after the game that Kenyon Drake's injury wasn't as bad as it seemed. And the Cardinals have a bye in week 8, so potential that he's back. The x-rays were negative on his ankle. I mean, it's possible he only misses a game or two. We'll see. He did get carted off, which is never a great sign. Chase Edmonds came in, and he didn't get a carry until the fourth quarter after Drake left, but he immediately provided them with a spark. He ripped off a couple big runs. He finished with 58 rushing yards on 5 carries, and he was still as great in the passing game as usual with nearly 90 yards receiving on 7 catches. Look, he's going to be, if there's any weeks where Chase Edmonds is the lead back in this offense, he's going to be a top 12 back easily. This is a guy that is top 5 among all running backs in fantasy points per touch. He's 15th in fantasy points per snap, and now he's going to get more work. He is the, there's one player to pick up off waivers this week. If he hasn't been picked up already, it's clearly Chase Edmonds without a doubt. He's just been such a better fit in his offense. The spacing is better. He's better in space, and he's a better pass catcher, and he's running more routes. So, again, we'll have to keep an eye on reports, but the fact they do have a bye week should help Kenyon Drake, but Edmonds has already been pushing for more work anyway. I don't know how they didn't get him there. Another monster game for Kyler Murray, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he continues to run like crazy. 67 yards on the ground with another rushing touchdown. I think he's the QB1 in fantasy right now, so he's a beast. DeAndre Hopkins, 10 for 103 and a touchdown on 12 targets. And back-to-back 2-touchdown games from Christian Kirk, who at 8 targets, you know, you'd still like to see him play more than Larry Fitzgerald. But he's a viable, you know, wide receiver 3 flex in this offense that, you know, runs 3 wide at the highest rate in the NFL. They play fast. So that's great to see from Christian Kirk. And it just definitely helps him being healthy. It helps Kyler Murray for sure. We close out Week 7 with the Rams and Bears on Monday Night Football. I need Robert Woods to get 15.5 PPR points for my sanity tonight. I'm not expecting it because the Bears' pass defense has been elite. They have allowed 1 touchdown to receiver this year, and that came on a 2-yard slant to Mike Evans, so I'm not expecting that from Robert Woods, but I'll be happy if it happens. Thanks for listening to the Solo Podcast. As always, D-Bro and I'll be back on Wednesday for the trade episode of the podcast, and we had waivers launch Monday afternoon as well, so double podcast on Monday. Friday, excited for the second guest for the DFS podcast, Kevin Adams, Magic Sports Guy, the head honcho. He'll be joining us to break down the slate. That's going to be really fun. So make sure you're subscribed, rate, review, downloading, all that great stuff, keeping it locked in here on the Fade the Chalk podcast, presented by the FTN Network. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.